here on sound, on different features of deity and so forth, and one meditates on the suchness. So this will be explained under four points. The first point is so generally there are four levels of practices. The first practice is dependent on vital energy and effort and hardship, and one is also dependent on different levels of concentration, and then based on that one visualizes oneself appearing into the form of a deity. So this is one level of practice. And the second level of practice is that the second level of practice is called the level of practice of the mantra, where one engages in whispered recitation of the mantra. And then the third level of practice is the branch of the mind, where you recite the mantra mentally. And the fourth level is the level which is devoid of either whispered recitation or mental recitation, and thus you undertake the concentration abiding fire. And similarly, you also engage in the concentration abiding sound. And then focusing on the aspect of the sound. So all these levels of practices are relinquished here in this case of concentration at the end of the sound. So relinquishing the preceding practices rather means that having achieved stability of experience in the preceding practices, then you move to the subsequent higher level of practices. So in short, this means that having achieved perfection in the four branches stage by stage, then after that if you meditate on emptiness, then that will grant you liberation. Now you will ask a question here by saying that here in this case of concentration at the end of the sound, it is not only the sound but you also relinquish focusing on the deity. Then why this is called end of the sound, or why you are simply talking about relinquishing the sound? When we talk about relinquishing the first branch, it is relinquishing the basis and the foundation of the sound of the mantra. Because the facsimile mantra here refers to the reciter of that mantra. Now when we talk about relinquishing the two middle branches, and then here one is relinquishing, making effort to actualize the sound of the mantra. And when we talk about relinquishing the last branch, then this is relinquishing the nature of the sound of the mantra. So it is for relinquishing these that we use the term relinquishing the sound. And all this will not appear in the perspective of our mind, which is focusing on the suchness or emptiness. So therefore we say that at that point when one is focusing on suchness or emptiness, these are relinquished. So here there are three types of meditative stabilizations that is to be generated. A meditative stabilization that is generated by focusing on the body of a deity, a meditative stabilization that is generated by focusing on the speech of a deity, meditative stabilization that is developed by focusing on the suchness of the mind of the deity. And the first meditative stabilization is quite gross, and the second is more subtler, and the third is extremely subtle. And you should therefore understand this order of grossness and accordingly develop these meditative stabilizations stage by stage within one's mind. And so therefore, to start with, there should be strong clarity of the deity, and one should also be abide on that image of the deity for a long time. So both of these two qualities must be there, clarity of the deity and being able to focus on that for a long time. And this clarity must be actualized by a concentration which has different aspects of the deity. Because if you make your mind habituated repeatedly for these different aspects of the deity, then you will be able to develop a very clear clarity of the deity. Just as when your mind is full of fear, or your mind is full of attachment, then you repeatedly think about that and you are able to gain a clear image of that. And unless you maintain one-pointedness, even if there is clarity, you will not be able to let your mind focusing on the chosen object. So therefore it's important to maintain one-pointed concentration. And it is in this way that one will be able to achieve the serviceability of the mind. So therefore, one should actualize the stability of the mind, which is free from mental thinking and mental laxity. If there is no clarity of the deity, then even if there is a kind of stability, it could be mental thinking. So therefore, before undertaking the recitation of the mantra, it is extremely important to cultivate a stable meditative stabilization in reference to the deity. And the process of actualizing a faultless one-pointed meditative stabilization, and how from such a meditative stabilization mental pliancy arises, and by depending on that how one will be able to cultivate physical pliancy, and after that how one would actualize shamat or calmly abiding mind. These are, Tsongkhapa says, I've explained in my great stages of the path, which is a common practice to both the vehicles. So therefore I'm not going to elaborate on this point. In the case of all the four classes of Tantra, the occasion when you are able to actualize a fully qualified, calmly abiding is at the time when you are guided through the practice of the deity yoga, and therefore it is important to make a clear-cut distinction between actual kama abiding and facsimile kama abiding or superficial kama abiding, as is explained in major philosophical texts. And therefore it is important when you are for the first time guided through the deity yoga practice, you should be aware of all this. And in this way, when you are able to develop strong meditative stabilization focusing towards the deity, then you should relinquish that, and you should train yourself in developing the meditative stabilization with reference to the mantra. So here, when we talk about relinquishing the meditative stabilization focusing on the body of the deity, it means for the time being you should give up focusing on the body of the deity, but you should let your mind focusing on other object. But this does not mean to say that from that point onwards you should never visualize the deity. As even in the case of the three recitations and during the concentration, abiding the fire, concentration, abiding the sound, we have repeatedly discussed about the need to focus on the deity. And in the case of tantric visualizations, there are three types of visualizations. In the case of grosser level of visualization, one focuses on the form of the letter, and or focuses on the sound of the letter, and then undertakes whispered recitation. So there we visualize the forms of the letter placed on a moon disk, and then from the aspect of the tone of that mantra, one lets one's mind focus on the tone of that sound of the mantra, and ensure that one's mind is not distracted, and the recitation is done so that one is just able to hear the sound of the recitation. And if you're able to achieve meditative stabilization or stability of yoga with reference to such recitation and such concentration, then you should for the time being leave that, and then you should train in the subtle concentration where you engage in only mental recitation and you do not engage in verbal recitation. Mental recitation here refers to letting the mind focus on either on the form of the letter or on the tone of the sound of the mantra, and then do not let your mind waver to other objects. And you should continue that concentration until you achieve stability. And when you achieve stability in that object, then you should stop there, and then meditate on the extremely subtle nature of the sound, to train in the true concentration of the extremely subtle nature of the sound. So that means the mind that is perceiving the suchness of the one's own mind, that is perceiving the suchness of the self, that itself should be imagined arising in the form of the tone of the mantra, and also in the form of a flame of the lamp, and then let your mind focus on that, and then continue that practice until you are able to obtain the science of accomplishment, as we discussed earlier. And then you should, when you achieve that stability, then you should also leave that for a time being. And then the mind should be able to have a clear aspect of the tone of that sound of that mantra. And here one should be able to unite the aspect of that sound of the mantra and the mind perceiving that sound as of same entity. And achieving stability in that is the meaning of abiding in the sound, in the end of which one is able to actualize liberation. And the second outline is the actual concentration at the end of the sound. So we were reading concentration at the end of the sound. So in this way, from concentration on the body of the deity to concentration abiding in the sound, you let your mind focus on the chosen object through binding the vital energy and the effort, and similarly by focusing on the fire, and similarly you also focused on different types of body of the deity and other objects. And it is in this way, when through the force or through the power of having achieved one-pointed concentration, as is explained in the Subahu Tantra, you will be able to develop great stability of the mind, and your mind will, mind and body will be filled with joy, and your body and mind will become serviceable, in the sense that you will be able to develop physical and mental pliancy. And particularly by meditating on the application of the energy and by focusing on the fire for a long time, you will also be able to develop bliss and heat, and depending on that you will be able to develop a great clarity and bliss and non-conceptual this will also become a cause to achieve non-conceptual meditative stabilization, clarity and bliss. But these are not called the completion stage practice, and they will still, you have not found the path to put an end to the self-grasping, which is the root of the samsara, and therefore you should need to relinquish the concentration abiding the sound, and you need to meditate on the emptiness, the concentration granting liberation at the end of the sound. So the meditation on this emptiness we have discussed earlier. So therefore, here I'll explain just briefly. As we have discussed earlier, here you need to establish the meaning of selflessness of the person and the phenomena by using logic and citing quotations. And in this way that you should establish or realize the lack of inherent existence of all phenomena, and thus you should seek the view of Madhyamika. And unless you achieve such a non-conceptual state, in the sense of having realized emptiness, then you are not successfully meditating on the meaning of emptiness. And once you are able to find such a Madhyamika viewpoint, then you should undertake your meditation. You should meditate by possessing two qualities. That is, first of all, the meditation should be one-pointed, it should be non-fluctuating, and secondly, should have the clarity of the object. And if you engage in too excessive analysis on the view of selflessness, then this would gradually induce excitement, and this will again fluctuate your mind. So therefore, after having undertaken analysis, and then you should try to sustain one pointed meditation without engaging in much analysis. And when you continue practice this one pointed meditation or meditative stabilization, if you continue this one pointed meditation for a long time, then you will lose enthusiasm in analyzing the nature of emptiness. And even if you try to analyze, the mind will be reluctant to go out. So then it would then become a non-conceptual state of mind. And again, there will be lack of balance between coming abiding and especially insight. And not only that, if you engage in that meditation of coming abiding for a long time, then either your mind will sink, or it will get discouraged, or it will induce mental torpor. So therefore, just as when you engage in excessive analysis, it induces excitement. Similarly, if you engage in too much excessive one-pointed meditation, then it will also induce mental discouragement, sinking, and so forth. So therefore, you should undertake a balanced practice of development of kamaya abiding and special insight in relation to realization or understanding of emptiness. So the process of meditation is such. A balanced process of meditation is explained in many texts, like Kamala Shila's Stages of Meditation. So in short, until below the concentration, abiding the sound, these practices are for actualizing shamatha or kamaya abiding. And from the concentration at the end of the sound, it is meditation on special insight. So therefore, you should undertake a balanced practice of development of kamaya abiding and special insight. In other words, you should try to achieve the unity of kamaya abiding and special insight. And the achievement of special feats and attainments, and the actualization of countless types of activities which are taught in action tantra and performance tantra, in order to actualize those special accomplishments and feats, one should first undertake the practice of the four branched recitations and the concentration on the three suchnesses. However, in order to actualize minor accomplishments, it is not necessary to that these practices should precede. Next, fourth outline refers to what kind of accomplishment one will have after fulfilling the divine approximation, or after fulfilling the retreats. As is said here in the Sucidi Tantra, that extremely supreme actions are actualized by undertaking special mantra recitations. And by undertaking retreat fast, most of the activities will be accomplished. And in the Subahu Tantra, it says that in accordance with the tantric rite, one should first recite mantra 100,000 times, and then you should enter into actualizing the secret mantra, and then you will quickly achieve accomplishments. And thus, through such tantric practices, your mind will not be afflicted. So So after having performed the yoga of the four branch recitations, it is said that one will actualize the accomplishments. Now, if you are trying to achieve accomplishments like wisdom and longevity of life, and then these are activities related to peace and increase. That means if your purpose is to develop increased wisdom and longevity of life, then you should perform peaceful and activities of peace and increase. And if you want to achieve accomplishment in a wrathful activity, then you should first undertake a retreat and then engage in the activity. So this is system adopted commonly by all the four classes of Tantra. One will be able to stop untimely death, remove sickness, epidemic disease, harms and contagious diseases. Through the activities of increase, one can increase one's life, youthfulness, magnificence, power, qualities and all other desires. Through wrathful activities, one can kill and banish the evil forces or enemies. And then the text explains about on what at what period of time this should be done. The text says that during the last month of the winter and during the second month of the autumn and the first and second month of the spring and the first waxing period of the first month of summer, these are suitable period for practicing supreme accomplishments and activities related to peace. And most of the activities for peace should be actualized during autumn and so forth. And then likewise, in the case of peaceful activities, the text says it will be better if these peaceful activities are done during during the waxing period of the month, that is from the first to the full moon. And here His Holiness was making the point that it seems that there is a connection between the external occurrences in the moon and the sun with our internal physical situations. And in fact, His Holiness explains his own experiences during lunar and solar eclipse. Once he had some, he noticed some changes of his breath, and then later on, someone said it must be due to the lunar eclipse. And then later on, he actually did an experiment, and he noticed that change. So it is possible that. Of course, it may have to do with the nature of the situation of the physical body of that person, but it at least indicates that there is a connection. And then the text explains about the postures that you adopt. If you are engaging in a peaceful activity, then you should observe the lotus posture. In the case of activities of increase, you should adopt the posture of the auspiciousness. In the case of wrathful activities, then your feet, your foot, should be pressed against the other foot. And in terms of the direction, you should, in the case of wrathful activities, you should be facing towards in the case of peaceful activities, you should be facing towards north. In the case of activities of increase, you should be facing east. And in the case of wrathful activities, should be facing south. And in terms of the nature of these accomplishments, if you achieve accomplishment like becoming a knowledge holder or obtaining clairvoyance and being able to know all the commentaries or treatises, these are best accomplishments. And if you are able to make yourself invisible and extract the essence and achieve the swiftness of feet, these are middle accomplishments. And if you are able to gain control over others and kill others, banish others, these are the last kind of accomplishments or inferior kind of accomplishments. And in terms of then in terms of the sign, it could be also be categorized into three. As a sign of your accomplishment, if you're able to make the substance burn or produce smoke in that substance or produce heat in that substance, these are also different signs of your accomplishment. And even though this is the general kind of process of achieving these different types of accomplishments, however, it is possible that even if the one who grants the accomplishment is of superior kind, but because of having not made proper effort as a practitioner, it is possible that one will get the last kind of accomplishment. And if from the point of view of the practitioner, that if one undertakes the retreat or the approximation of the deity properly, then even in the case of the one who grants the accomplishment may belong to a lower tribe, but that could bring a supreme kind of accomplishment from others. The text explains about examining the possibilities of achieving such an accomplishment before undertaking the practice. Thank you. with regard to the question that whether one can seek the support of worldly being for actualizing these accomplishments, this is possible provided if these worldly beings are allowed to grant such permissions or accomplishments. So with regard to examining whether you will achieve such accomplishments or not is that either on full moon or during any period of the waxing moon, you should undertake fasting, and then you should examine the dream. So this is done by first taking bath and putting on fresh cloth, and then at the time of the dawn you should make elaborate offerings and invite the deity and make incense offerings from white sandal and so forth, and make other edible offerings, and then also do 108 times burning of the kind of fire offering. And then tie the left arm with a protective thread. And then you should request the relevant deity to show you in dream whether you will achieve that particular accomplishment or not. And while reciting that mantra of that particular deity, then you should sleep on a mat that is strewn with flowers and kusha grass. And then in the dream, if you dream of if you get delightful dreams like seeing Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha and your own deity, Buddhas, the four followers, Bodhisattvas, and likewise seeing mountains, elephants, streams and so forth, then these are indication that you will achieve the accomplishment. In the concluding verses of this second chapter, Tsongkhapa says, by practicing fasting and by knowing few rituals of taking bath and by undertaking few of these partial meditations and recitations, if one thinks that one knows the action tantra and performance tantra, then it is only a matter of laughing. So therefore it is important to arrange systematically the meaning of the tantric teaching into the path, and that means you should know the four classes of tantra in the action tantra, and particularly the Susiddhi tantra and tantra called subsequent concentration, as is commented by the two Indian scholars, and therefore you should seek their thought, their explanation, and then you will find that these commentaries are like an eye to see all the teachings on action tantra.
Thank you.
So this completes the chapter on Action Tantra. Next third chapter deals with the stages of the path of the performance tantra. This is explained under four outlines. The first outline deals with how to prepare oneself as a suitable disciple for enabling one that would enable oneself to meditate on the path. One makes oneself a suitable disciple for meditating on this path by receiving initiation in a mandala which has the essence of the great compassion, as is explained in the performance tantra. And I have explained the process of entering the mandala and receiving the initiation after having entered the mandala in my commentary on the root and secondary infractions. And if I write on the mandala and the rites of initiation, it will be too detailed, so I'm not writing that here. And you should know this from the root and commentary of Virochana Abhisambodhi and Virochana Abhishek or initiation. The second outline deals with how to maintain the purity of pledges and vows after one becomes a suitable disciple for meditating on the path. Abiding in pledges and commitment here refers to practicing the 10 virtuous practices, and with regard to other pledges, it is most of them are similar with the pledges of the Action Tantra. And both in the Action Tantra and Performance Tantra, it is important to receive the Bodhisattva vow, as is explained in the Manjushri Mula Tantra. And the detail of this is, I have explained this in detail in my commentary on the chapter on morality. Third outline deals with how to undertake the retreat after abiding in the pledges. This is explained under two outlines. The first outline explains about the different classes of yoga. So basically it refers to the two types of yoga, yoga with sign and yoga without sign. So the yoga with sign here refers to those recitations of the mantra and meditation on the deity which is without meditation on emptiness. Yoga without sign here refers to those recitations and meditations on the deity which includes meditation on emptiness. So yoga without sign should not be understood as meditation only on emptiness. Otherwise you will have to accept that by meditating only on emptiness, it is possible to achieve enlightenment. Because it is clearly said in the Tantra that by undertaking the practice of the yoga without sign, one is able to actualize all the attainments. Because this is called yoga with sign because still it has a strong dualistic appearances. And yoga without sign is so called because one focuses primarily on the meaning of emptiness. The yogas could also be classified into worldly yoga or beyond worldly yoga, as is explained in the Vairochana Abhisambodhi. Here, when we talk about beyond worldly yoga, we are not talking about the uncontaminated wisdom within the mind of our superior being, within the mind of an Arya. But here we are talking about yoga which is influenced by an aspect of selflessness. In the stages of the path of Vajrayana vehicle, composed by a scholar called Gesang Dorje, he also clearly says that in the case of Anuttara Yoga, Yoga Tantra, the main feature is the practice of the two stages, that is generation stage and completion stage. And in the case, while referring to the three lower classes of Tantra, he classifies them from the point of